Welcome, everybody. I'm thrilled to be on the line with you all and to be able to share together some chizuk. The Zohar says that anybody who has words of chizuk to share and doesn't share them is guilty of withholding something from his friend. And be'ezras Hashem, since Hashem has given us words of chizuk and chachamim who shared chizuk and insights that can be mechazik each other, then be'ezras Hashem, I hope to be able to fulfill the potential in the time and to be able to taka ish areyu yom hachazak. We should all say to each other, be strong and strengthen each other and strengthen ourselves in the call of the hour. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu surprised us in unpleasant surprises over the last year and certainly over the last couple of weeks here in Eretz Yisrael. And the question that's been on many people's lips is, what does Hashem want from us? What are we supposed to be responding with? And certainly, it's not for me to give the answer, but certainly there are many answers. And of course, as the Chachamim say over and over again, each person knows his own sickness best. And if we're suffering from fear, and if we're suffering from a lack of confidence, if we're suffering from a feeling of insecurity in these times, from feeling unsafe, then certainly this is the machoiz, this is the illness of our souls, and it's the time for us to strengthen ourselves so that we can feel safe in unsafe times. One of my favorite stories was told to me. I was speaking in a group in Telstone, and apropos of the topic that I was sharing, all of a sudden one of the speakers, one of the participants put up a hand. She said, I have to tell you this story. She said, this is a true story that took place in New Mexico. Many, many years ago, and you can look this up, this happened historically, there was a terrible earthquake in New Mexico, and a lot of the city was completely leveled due to the power of the earthquake. And within the radius of the earthquake was a hospital which was totaled to the ground. And it was taking the rescue crews days to dig through the rubble of the entire city, and especially of the hospital that was just crumbled within underneath itself. And after 10 days, they managed to actually find an entire group of survivors inside this hospital. Within one particular ward, there was a group of survivors. And everybody wondered, who could this group of survivors be, this whole group of survivors all together? And who were these survivors that had survived in such inhospitable circumstances for 10 days? They were a group of newborn babies who were in their mother's arms. Their mothers had been killed in the earthquake, yet the babies had survived. And the question begs, on what did they survive? They didn't get any food. They didn't get any sustenance whatsoever during that long, dangerous time. They were certainly alone in a dangerous world. And yet they survived. And the only conclusion that could be drawn from this was that they survived simply because they were in their mother's arms. The security that they felt, and again, this was not an intellectual security. This was a deep emotional security that these newborn babies found within their mother's arms that kept them alive, that kept them feeling safe, even in an unsafe world. And what we can glean from this powerful and very disturbing story is that a feeling of security can actually maintain us even when we are in an unsafe environment. And the world is not a safe world. There's a lot going on out there. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu created this world to be an unsafe world. The world is created with a tremendous amount of darkness, with a tremendous amount of hiddenness. And certainly HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants something from us within all of this. So our job, and so what I'm trying to do today is, Be'ezras Hashem, to answer a question, is what is going to be the most helpful response that we can create within ourselves to the situation that we find ourselves with, within the situation, a response that's going to both strengthen us, that's going to actually create an additional measure of menuchas nefesh, of peace of mind, of serenity within the storm, and also that's actually going to provide us with more security, even within the dangers that are around us. A very, very interesting study that I want to begin with is actually some scientific information, which is a prelude to some very interesting conclusions. There was a study done of 30,000 adults in the United States over the period of 8 years. And they asked the participants, how much stress have you experienced in the last year? And they also asked, do you believe that stress is harmful for your health? And then they used public records to find out what happened to these people, these 30,000 adults. Well, people who experienced a lot of stress in that previous year had a 43% increased risk of dying. But that was only true for the people who said that they believed that stress was harmful. The people who experienced a lot of stress but didn't view stress as being dangerous were actually no more likely to die. In fact, they had the lowest risk of dying. This is including people who had relatively little stress, people who had lots of stress but didn't view it as dangerous to their health, were very healthy. So the researchers came out with an estimate that 182,000 Americans died prematurely, not actually from stress, but from believing that stress was bad for them. Believing that something is dangerous for us is actually worse for our health than even major illnesses, okay? The belief that something is dangerous and could really damage me is something that we really have to examine now. What is the power of belief? Many of us react, the healthy reaction to any kind of stressful situation is immediately a physical one. We'll find maybe our stomach contracts. We'll find that our head becomes dizzy. We get more oxygen to our brain. Our stomach stops digesting food in an effort to shunt energy to the limbs so that we could actually go and react physically if we need to. Healing goes a lot slower. Our heart begins to pump. We breathe faster. These are a lot of symptoms. We might begin to sweat. People find this set of symptoms disturbing. And they might think, oy vey, what's going to happen now? Feeling the palpitations that we feel as our heart beats actually feels uncomfortable. But for some people, they love it. Again, let's say there's an athlete, and he loves this feeling. This is the feeling of getting ready to run, or somebody who is about to go on stage for a major speech or a major performance in front of people. Again, they're going to experience all of these symptoms. Sometimes somebody who is going out to do battle, or a lawyer who's going into court, he's also going to have this kind of physical event, but he's using it as part of his job. He enjoys it. It's the thrill of the event, makes the adrenaline pump through his body, but he's actually charged as a result. And there's a major difference between the physiological response to a person who's feeling fear as he feels stress, to a person who is not feeling fear. And the difference is really found inside the heart. The heart is going to be producing a different kind of beat when a person is feeling fearful than when a person is not feeling fearful, even if they both experience the same kind of stress. Fear, in and of itself, we're going to see is actually the most harmful of all human emotions that we can expose ourselves to. Fear impedes all kind of growth. It impedes all kind of learning. Fear of bad outcomes is something that robs us of joy. It robs us of energy, and it saps our strength. Yet, when a person experiences stress, meaning a stressful situation that could be a financial situation, it could be a health situation, it could be a relationship situation, it could be a security situation. If we are sensing stress, but we're not fearful, then we're actually going to find that there's a hormone that is going to be secreted into our blood that is not secreted when a person is fearful. That hormone is called oxytocin. Oxytocin is a neurohormone, and it tunes the way that our brain relates to people in our lives. It actually creates the need to connect to people. It makes us feel more empathy towards other people. It makes us want to come close physically to those who are close to us. It makes us want to reach out and be part of a community, part of a group, part of a family. And this is why there is so much need to connect with other people when we're in stressful situations. Naturally, as a Jewish community, we come together. We fill that need with Tehillim groups that span continents. As we've got, many of you will have got emails over the last few months. Say this to Tehillim, say that to Tehillim, join this group, do this. Say Shmiras HaLashon, and every kind of wonderful activity has been performed on a communal basis. There's tremendous unity that takes place when we as Klal Yisrael are under stress. And this is due to how HaKadosh Baruch has created us, that masses of oxytocin are coursing through our veins, making us want to reach out and join hands with each other across our communities, across the continents, across the world, to create more unity, to create more of a sense of togetherness. There's an additional spiritual element that oxytocin, again, this is not brought down by the researchers, but oxytocin makes us want to connect, and the ideal way to connect is to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. David HaMelech, in all of his aloneness and in all of his stress, and he had, by all accounts, an extremely stressful life. We're talking about he began his life as despised, as everybody thought that he was illegitimate. They didn't even count him as part of their family group. They thought that even that when Shmuel came to anoint a king from the sons of Yishai brought out all of his tall, handsome sons, but they didn't even think to bring in David, who was out with the sheep. He wasn't even counted amongst the sons of Yishai because they didn't think that he was legitimate in the beginning. And only when finally, when the oil refused to be poured and wouldn't come out on any of other Yishai's sons, finally they said, well, there's one last son, you know, maybe David. And Shmuel said, call him. And they brought in David, and the oil jumped out by itself to anoint David. David, again, he overcame this. He said, Ki avi ve'imi azavuni v'Hashem yasveini. Even though I was disabused by my parents, even though my parents did not draw me close to them, even though they denied me the status, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu gathered me in. And then from his community, he was sent out, and he experienced every kind of bizayon, every kind of abuse and shame. And then even once he was king and once he was settled, his children rebelled against him. Any kind of stress that happened to a person happened to David HaMelech. And he didn't feel fear. He might have felt significant amounts of stress, but he turned all of it to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Certainly what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to do with all of this hormonal need to reach out and connect is to reach out and connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He wants us to turn all of this to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because I'm hoping to you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm not going to be shamed. And David HaMelech pours out his heart to HaKadosh Baruch Hu all throughout every kind of stressful situation that came up in his life. He connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He said, I'm turning to you, only to you, Hashem. I don't rely on anybody else. Please answer my prayer because I'm trusting in you, because I'm turning to you. David HaMelech needed support the stress mechanism within us is a need to feel supported. And so if we feel somehow disconnected when we're in a state of stress, this is normal. This is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu created within us, that when we find that we're in a stressful situation, we need to connect to something. We need to connect to a community, to a family, to a friend, to a support group. Most of all, we need to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu because He is the source of all support. As we say in the morning davening, that you are the only support that exists. In fact, all support that comes to us, even through other means, is only the HaKadosh Baruch Hu support being rooted through the other medium. But it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu who is supporting us, HaKadosh Baruch Hu who is there for us. So knowing that this oxytocin is actually a stress hormone, it only is produced in the body as a result of the stress. So what we could say is that part of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's plan in creating stressful situations for the Jewish community throughout history is in order that we will form strong family bonds, strong interpersonal bonds, strong societal and communal bonds, and strong bonds with the Ribbono Shel Olam, strong bonds with Him Himself. This is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to do. And not only this, it's going to help us to be healthier. Oxytocin doesn't only affect our brain. It also affects our bodies physically. Its role is to protect our heart and all of the attendant systems from the effects of stress. It's a natural and anti-inflammatory, and it helps the blood vessels to stay relaxed during during stress. So the natural way that a heart and all of the blood vessels looks during a stressful and fearful event is that the blood vessels constrict. And this is one of the main reasons that chronic stress is sometimes associated with cardiovascular disease. Because the more that the blood vessels constrict, the blood has a hard time getting through. And this creates all kinds of diseases. But in a healthy person who feel stressed without fear, meaning they're in a stressful situation, but they're facing it with courage. They're facing it with a sense of support, a sense of social connection, whether it's with other people or whether it's with the Kaddish Baruch Hu. The picture of the heart and the blood vessels is entirely different. The blood vessels remain open. And even if the heart is pumping fast, it doesn't make a difference. There is not going to be any negative side effect of the stress on the heart or on the blood vessels, but they're going to stay healthy. And over a lifetime of stressful experiences, that biological change could be the difference between a stress-induced heart attack, chas v'shalom, or living well. This is an extremely important piece of information because we need to understand how HaKadosh Baruch Hu created all of this to benefit us. He doesn't want us to feel fear. He doesn't want us to live in fear. He doesn't want us to respond to stress with fear. But He is creating, by all accounts, stressful situations in the lives of many of us. And we're not only talking about the security situation. We're talking about the fact that many people cannot let their children go out by themselves at all in their neighborhoods or even go to school because who's Chas v'Shalom is going to be interfering with them wherever they go. And they don't even know who they can trust themselves. They've lost their sense of trust in even people who they grew up with. And now they feel like, well, how can I connect to anybody anymore? I feel that the bottom has fallen out of my world. There's nobody left to trust. I'm so stressed, but there's nothing that I can do. There's no one to reach out to. But the truth is that there's always somebody to reach out to. There's always a Kaddish Baruch Hu. And not only this, but there's another very important study that I want to discuss. And this was 1,000 adults in America, aged 34 to 93. And they asked them, how much stress have you experienced in the last year? And they also asked them, how much time have you spent helping people in your community? And then they sat back to see what would happen. Over the next 5 years, for every major stressful life experience, there was a 30% increase in mortality. But that was not true for the people who spent time caring for others, doing acts of kindness and chesed within their community. Even if a person finds that they don't themselves have from where to draw strength from others in the community, simply through giving to the community, we can reduce our own stress. Through reaching out and helping others, we help ourselves. Through reaching to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we help ourselves. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to tune in to courage. He wants us to, yes, experience a certain amount of stress, because stress is going to motivate us. It's going to motivate us to form connections with other people and not just sit back and go through our days thinking about ourselves. It's going to motivate us to make strong communities, but it's going to motivate us to pick up a Sefer Tehillim and say, well, if there's no one else to turn to, I'm going to turn to you, Ribbono Shel Olam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the source of all Yeshua. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the only one that can help us. And when we do that, we can help ourselves. Now, again, we discussed belief. That the belief that that stress is dangerous actually created a lot of the problems. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to use the truths that he tells us in his Torah and tune our beliefs into what he tells us. I read a beautiful illustration from history that when the train was first invented, they called it the horseless wagon. And the country bumpkins and village dwellers found it incredible. They were incredulous. They couldn't believe that there could be such a thing as a horseless wagon. And at one point, they, after the invention of the train, they wanted to bring the train and have the country people view it so that they would be able to then join and be able to pay money and go onto the train. They wanted to see people to see what was this thing, the train. And they would not believe that there was this thing as a wagon without horses. Okay, the train came into their little hamlet, and there was no horse there. And they looked all around it, and they didn't see a horse. And they said to each other, okay, we didn't see any horse, but there has to be a horse inside it somewhere, because this thing can't go without a horse. Okay, they opened up the doors, and they let all the country people inside. They should go all around and see what was inside it, so that they'd be able to, you know, get to know what the train looks like from the inside. Okay, so these very clever countrymen, you know, salt of the earth, they know how things grow, they know how things work. They're not going to be taken in by some sophisticated piece of equipment. This has to have a horse somewhere, and we're going to find it. So they go walking from side to side. They look under every chair, in every nook and cranny, trying to find the horse. They don't find any horse, obviously, because we know trains don't work with horses. With the benefit of hindsight, you know, we're very clever. But they couldn't believe it. They looked everywhere, and finally they gave up. They went out, but they said to each other, okay, we didn't see a horse there, but we know that somewhere in there, there has to be a small horse, because this thing can't run without a horse. Their belief that a train, that a wagon has to have a horse, they just couldn't let go of it. We have so many beliefs that plague our minds day and night, and these beliefs are creating all kinds of trouble. We think that danger on the streets means that, oh my gosh, it could happen anywhere. Oh my gosh, there's bedlam. Oh my gosh. And we wonder, in the words of the fear that plagued the Klal Yisrael as they came out of Mitzrayim, Hayesh Elokim bekirbeinu haloi, is HaKadosh Baruch Hu with us? What's happening over here? It looks like everything's happening b'mikra. Like this one just jumps out with a knife, and this one rams into people, Chas v'Shalom, and it looks like everything is just so haphazard. Could there possibly be a Kadosh Baruch Hu with us? Is there a plan here? It feels like the whole world is gone crazy, and that there's no plan, and that maybe Chas v'Shalom, the world's hefka. Maybe Taka, a goy can wake up in the morning and decide to go and kill Jews, and he can succeed, Rahman al-Islam. And this is the wonder that plagues our hearts. And instead of believing, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is here. He loves me. He's protecting me. He's looking after me. We wander to ourselves. And we think, Olam Hefka, the world is open. We don't understand the kind of Hashtaka Pratis that is taking place, that is protecting us from all of their insane desires all day and all night. Just one teeny insight is that there's a Rav of Reisman who gives a shir, a daily shir, with at least 40 men every single day in the center of Yerushalayim. And he gives the shir every day, I believe it's in the Bell Shul, and every day after the shir, many, many men are streaming out of the shul. And in the security cameras that were taken on the day that all these terrible attacks were happening, Tuesday morning in Yerushalayim last week, they looked in the security cameras and they saw this Arab worker from the Bezek company was driving around and around the shul, around and around. Obviously, he was looking and waiting to see, when are all these men going to come out of the shir? And the truth is that Rav Reisman had been called to Belgium just the day before. They'd begged him to come months and months ago. And they'd begged him to come and talk and give chizuk to the community about the dangers of the internet, the dangers of phones and not having filters. And he really didn't want to go, and he really wanted to stay in Eretz Yisrael and not leave. But they begged him to come. And even after he booked the flight, he regretted it. He says, I'm going to cancel it. Bring somebody else instead. And they said to him, no, if you don't come, no one's going to come and hear these words. You have to come. If it's not you, no one's going to come. And so he agreed to go. And on the day, on that day that he was not there, there was no shir. And the men weren't there. And the Arab came out of his car, walked all through the shul, trying to see where all these people that he'd planned, chas v'shalom. And they weren't there. So he got back into his car and went somewhere else. Rachman al-Islam. What happened? But a Kadosh Baruch Hu has a plan for every single individual. And even if it looks like it was happenstance, but no neshama can be taken from this world unless the Kadosh Baruch Hu has decided, unless the Kadosh Baruch Hu has a plan that this is the Siyata Dishmaya of the moment, and that these Heiliga Kedoshim, these neshamas, that this was part of the task for which they came into this world. Not only this, but through their giving up their lives Al Kiddush Hashem, they saved us from a great many more korbanos chas v'shalom that would have been much, much, much worse throughout the community. But there, so what they did averted a greater tragedy. We have to understand that none of this happened by chance, and that every single thing takes place only because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in charge. And this is what we need to believe. And our belief, the more that we get to believe it, the more that we're going to understand this, and the more that we're going to be able to see and feel the Hashgacha Pratis surrounding us. The Baal Shem Tov said, Hashem Silcha, Hashem is your shadow. And just like when a person stands against the sun, his shadow is revealed on the earth, so every movement that a person does is revealed in his shadow. So it is with HaKadosh Baruch Hu too. And this is how HaKadosh Baruch Hu reacts with us. Panim b'panim diba Hashem imachem, the pasuk says in Devarim. And the pasuk says there, v'halachtem imi keri, you went with me in a way that looked like things were happening by chance. It seemed and it appeared in the eyes of the people that what was happening was chas v'shalom by chance, without a plan. V'halachti afani imachem b'keri, and in that case, when you think that things are going in that way, I'm going to go with you that way as well. Panim b'panim, you come to me thinking that everything is by chance. I'm going to respond to you that it's going to appear to you. It's going to happen, chas v'shalom. But if a person goes with thinking that it's all nature, it's all chance, there's no hashgacha pratis over here, the world is hefka, then that comes with a lot of din, it comes with a lot of judgment, chas v'shalom. If we go with the Kadosh Baruch Hu thinking that things are just going derech teva, and that that's the way of the world, that goyim hate, and that's what they're going to continue doing, then this chas v'shalom arouses a danger against us. But when a yid lives with belief in hashgacha pratis, then we can be zoicha to see amazing, incredible Yeshua. Because the actual imuna in of itself brings about Yeshua. This is brought down by the Nefesh HaChaim, by Rav Chaim Volozhiner. He says that when a Yid has emuna and bitachon, he draws down the response of Hashem Tzilcha, Hashem Yerushalayim. The Ben Ish Chai says the same thing. All the major gedolim all say the same thing on this pasuk, Hashem Tzilcha. That when we go with a belief in emuna, in a Kadosh Baruch, in a Hashgacha Pratit, then Hashem will reveal to us incredible wonders through the emuna in Hashgacha Pratit. The Chazal Ish said that even Katnei Emunah, even one with a small amount of Emunah, is still considered a Ma'amin, is still considered a believer. We don't have to be from the biggest Ma'aminim in order to be Zoicha to this Siyata Dishmaya that comes through Emunah. But for even every little piece of Emunah, if we could measure Emunah in atoms, every single atom of Emunah draws us closer. Every single atom of Emunah arouses the greater element of Siyata Dishmaya and protection and wonders and extra measure of protection from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And so we don't, again, we all have to see ourselves on a continuum where to my very, very left is the person with absolutely no emunah whatsoever, and on my very, very right is the biggest maimon in the world where he sees with a total clarity all and everything is only HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And all of us are somewhere in between. But the Chazon Ish said, even one who has a little bit of emunah, just a little bit, I'm trying to have emunah. I'm trying to believe that it's Hashgacha Pratit. I'm trying to get myself to the point where I believe it. Even a person who is a little bit, but Ezra Hashem, he's still a maimon, and he's connected to the power that emunah brings. He's connected to the Yeshua, to the wonders that can be aroused through emunah. How can we help ourselves to arouse this emunah within ourselves? One of the ways that we can do it, the Torah's Avos of Slonim says, He'emanti ki yadaber. The pasuk in that we say in Hallel, that is usually translated differently, but here he gives a little bit of a drush on it, that I believe because I speak it out. That through saying, Be'ezus Hashem, through saying, I feel that we're going to be saved, through talking words of emunah, we get to feel it. He says, this is the way that it goes. Through saying words of emunah, over and over again, through repeating it to ourselves, it becomes entrenched in our minds, and we begin to think thoughts of emunah. Through thinking over a period of time, thoughts of emunah, gradually there will be a transference. And it won't only be in my mind, but it will transfer into my heart. And at that point, it becomes a deep feeling of emunah. We're all at somewhere along this continuum of this journey, from having it only as, I don't believe it at all, but I'm going to say it in order that I can get to believe it. Some of us are saying it because we half believe it. Some of us are saying and we're already mostly believing it, but we're still not really thinking it up to ourselves. We have to say it in order to think it. And then we're at the point where we really think it, but we're not feeling it as much as we're thinking it. And then gradually it's going to filter down bit by bit into our hearts so that then it becomes a feeling. Another little, a very instructive piece from science and technology. The head of the water company, Makorot, in Eretz Yisrael, in the 1800s, he was a young farmer in Eretz Yisrael, and he was visiting one of his friends, and he noticed that there were a whole line of trees on his friend's property, and one of them was much larger than the others. And he wondered to himself, why is this one larger? And all success begins with a question. See, all success comes from a great question, so keep asking questions. How is this tree bigger? And he went to examine what was going on with this tree, and he saw there was a crack in a water pipe near that large tree that was allowing drips to come out of the pipe that was watering this tree with drips. And he began to look into watering through drips. And over the research that he found, they now have come up with statistics that when we water through drips, through using plastic piping that allows water to drip out through. But anybody who lives in Eretz Yisrael is familiar with this, because this is the way of all irrigation all across the country now. When you water with drips, he says, you can use half of the water, a third of the water, with double the result if we would have used the entire amount of water. Meaning pouring bucketfuls of water, let's say, would result in a 50-centimeter tree over a certain amount of time. Using a third of that bucket through drips, that tree would grow to 100 centimeters in the same amount of time. Dripping something in helps it to be absorbed. And this is the power of Torah. This is what Rabbi Akiva saw when he was having that day, when he had a down day. Even Rabbi Akiva had a real down day. And he said to himself, how am I going to manage? He was almost despairing. He'd gone to learn Torah, and it just couldn't get into his head. He said, how am I ever going to get this? Everybody around me is learning it. I'm just not getting it. And he sat down next to a rock, and he noticed the water dripping on the rock. And he said to himself, if this water could make an impression and a hole in this hard rock, then the Torah, if I allow it to drip into myself, it's going to penetrate and it's going to make an impression. And so, if we allow little drips of emunah to converge within ourselves, and it's, again, the first drip is going to be starting to talk about it. And the more that I talk about it, each little drip will drip into my mind until it becomes part of my thought processes. And once it's part of my thought processes, I'm thinking thoughts of emunah, of belief in a Kadosh Baruch Hu, of belief in Hashgacha Pratis, that the world is not Hefka, that a Kadosh Baruch Hu is running the world, and that he loves me, and that he's protecting me, and that he's out for my good. All of these wonderful beliefs. And again, the Torah is full of positive beliefs that we need to acquire for ourselves. And of course, in the Think Positive program, we learn all about what are these beliefs, what does the yid have to believe in order to go through life in the most optimistic, powerfully positive way possible. But the more that we allow this to drip in bit by bit, eventually, it's going to become a feeling. It's going to become a feeling that I can rely on the Kadosh Baruch Hu. I can be courageous even in the face of a situation that is challenging to me. Even though but Hashem yasveini, even the rabbim kamim alai, I can trust in a Kadosh Baruch Hu. No matter what is happening, my son turns against me, but a Kadosh Baruch Hu is there for me. Whatever I'm going through, I'm going to acquire for myself that deep feeling that's never going to leave me. It's going to be with me forever and ever and ever. And the truth is that emunah sits within the neshama. It is a light that goes and enters into our neshama, and it elevates our neshama. It changes our neshama. And if a person in this world uses the events of his life to respond with emunah, every atom of emunah that he quetches out and works on to try and acquire into his neshama becomes additional light within his neshama, and that light that's in his neshama accompanies him after 120 years. So when his neshama grows up after 120 years, it's a different kind of neshama. It is acquired, all the emunah. And that emunah is going to go with him. So that after 120 years, and this is what Rav Asher Freund says like this. He says that after 120 years, when the neshama goes up to Shemayim, and hordes of angels that were created from his Aveirus, from his misdeeds, might want to help him and drag him off to Gehinnom, because he needs cleansing. He needs to be cleaned from all that he went through, from all that he did, all the dirt that he stuck to his neshama. If a yid in this world accustomed himself always through any kind of stress to say, I know it's only you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You're going to save me from this. I'm connecting to you through whatever's happening, and I believe that you're going to save me. I'm turning to you. I'm turning to no one else. And he's put this within his neshama. After 120 years, when he sees these forces coming to him, he's going to shout, it's only you, Ribbono Shel Olam. In my life, I only turned to you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Whatever was coming towards me, I saw it only as you. Even now, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm turning to you to save me. Save me from this. Says Reb Asher, at that point, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will come and will save him, even from Gehinnom. And it says, the Nisiv Shalom or the Torah's Arbois of Slanim brings down that even a Rasha in Gehinnom, if he has Emuna, through the schus of his Emuna is going to be taken out. The Emuna that we create in our neshamas is an eternity that can never be taken away from us. And we can only acquire this eternity through being in this world, through going through a stressful situation and using it to build and draw the light into our neshamas. A person who never has any stress, who never has to respond with courage to a difficult situation, would never have the opportunity to build and draw the light within his neshama. But a person who has a situation in his life with which he needs to respond, with which the oxytocin within him forces him to connect to something, and he says, I choose to give to Klal Yisrael. I choose to use this need within me to connect to the Klal, to my family, to give. And I choose to turn to you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and connect to you within my neshama through pouring out my heart with Tehillim. Even if I only say one kapitel, even if I don't understand what I'm saying, but I'm talking to you, Ribbono Shel Olam, and I'm finding myself in the word of Tehillim, just as David HaMelech suffered so much, and he turned to you through it all. So I'm turning to you through the stress that I'm in right now. Through this, we gain an eternity in our neshama that can never be taken away from us, and that we could only gain through having gone through this. But what's the problem, right? If it was so easy, then we would all do it. The problem is that we are encased in a physical body, and we have been given a matana toiva, a good and wonderful present called the Yetzer Hara. And the Yetzer Hara's business is to keep us guilty, miserable, despairing, to keep us fearful, worried, and pushing ourselves down, depreciating ourselves, undervaluing the value of the Jewish neshama. That's the Yetzer Hara's whole job. And in order to do this, he's been given permission to show us within our imagination utter falsehood in order to frighten us. It's very easy for us to frighten ourselves. In fact, my daughter told me at one point, we'd all gone away for Yontif, and we were staying in an empty building, and we were all due to come back soon from shul. I don't recall exactly where we were. She went over there to get something in the building, and as she went in, a teenage girl, she decided to play a game with herself and say, make spooky sounds and imagine to herself all kinds of spooky things inside this empty building. Well, after 1 minute of making spooky sounds and imagining spooky ideas to herself, she became totally panicked, and she frightened herself silly, and she had to totally calm herself down by singing songs to herself and making herself feel good, because she'd really created a serious sense of panic within herself. If I asked any of you to make yourself scared, you could do it within a second. A woman told me that she went to a positive thinking class, some other kind of guided imagery positive thinking class, and the man who was giving the class, at the end, he told them some scary stories. I don't know why he chose to do that. After trying to give them a sense of chizuk, he told them some scary stories. And he told them some story about an Arab behind a bush. I have no clue why he did this. Anyway, she said when she left the building, the door closed behind her, and she couldn't go back in. It was nighttime, and it was dark. And she saw a bush. And what happened? All of a sudden, oh, there's a bush. I just heard a story about this. And all of a sudden, she went into a state of fear. She'd just been learning all about how to use your imagination to help yourself not to feel fear. And there she was within 3 seconds in a state of fear. Because our imagination is the seat of the Yetzer Hara. This is where he lives and breathes and multiplies, and that's his throne. Our imagination within our heart is where the Yetzer Hara lives, through providing our imagination with complete Sheker. We see this from what happened when Moshe Rabbeinu had gone up to Shemayim to receive the Torah, and he'd given Klal Yisrael a sign of when he was going to come down. He was going to be there for 40 days and he was going to come down. But what happened was he was slightly delayed. During that slight delay, the Yetzer Hara came to all of Klal Yisrael and said to them, he's died. He is not coming back. And they all said to the Yetzer Hara, Don't be ridiculous. He's gone for 40 days. He's going to come back. He told them, no, no, no. Moshe Rabbeinu's gone. He's died. Forget it. You are leaderless. And they said, no, no, no. We're not going to believe you. He's coming back. At that point, the Yetzer Hara played his trump card. He played a multimedia light and sound show and screamed the funeral of Moshe Rabbeinu taking place in heaven. Now, the funeral wasn't taking place because Moshe Rabbeinu hadn't died. But the Yetzer Hara had permission to scream this. All Kaisar saw it. And as one, they ran off to build a golden calf in the fear and panic that they had been left alone. The Yetzer Hara has permission to screen within our minds complete lies in order to frighten us. The Rav Dessler gives us a clue of how we can know if something comes from the Yetzer Hara. He says if something comes to us very quickly, in haste, if you make a very hasty kind of decision, if we all of a sudden switch it to something in pandemonium, in a quick, not thought out way, it's usually coming from the Yetzer Hara. And fear is exactly this. All of a sudden we'll find ourselves heart beating in a panic because of some kind of image or some sound or something that aroused from our imagination, and it's a complete sheker. It wasn't even true. It wasn't real. It wasn't based in fact. And yet, we began to feel fear. Now, there are fearful things happening. They are real dangers around us. But again, these dangers are exclusive to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's plan. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't do anything unless it's exactly only to the measure that it needs to be. HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves us. We are his chosen special people. And again, belief in Hashem's love for us is the root of everything. And if we don't have belief in his love for us, we actually have nothing. And this is one of the major points that we stress and work on during the Think Positive program, is how to get ourselves to feel how Hashem loves me. And one young woman who visited me, she said, I can't believe how I've managed to change myself over the weeks and months that I've been working with this. I feel how Hashem loves me. I walk down the street and I feel how Hashem loves me. And women all around the world have told me how this has been a major shift within their psyche. And all kinds of Yeshuas came into their lives as a result of this shift in belief. They've begun to understand that Hashem loves me. Another woman said, I can now count the seconds of anxiety. She said, sometimes anxiety will come up by itself, but I change the way that I think. And then the anxiety is gone, and I can count on my hand the amount of seconds that anxiety lasted. We've gained control over the anxiety and over the fear. But again, the Yetzer Hara has permission to jump up and make us think that it all happens fast, that there's no plan over here. Of course, Baruch Hu is not in this picture. No, it's all fake. It's just, you know, everybody can do whatever he wants to do. And there's no sense of Hashgacha Pratis. This is what the Yetzer Hara comes up to tell us. And in that moment of fear, that's what we think. That's what we believe. But again, it's the Yetzer Hara. And we can tell it's the Yetzer Hara because it came up fast. It wasn't we thought out to believe this. And when we gain a more of a measure of control over our thinking, we'll realize, wait, this was just the Yetzer Hara. I'm not interested in what he has to say. And I can push it away and I can create for myself a new positive outlook that's going to help me. So I want to give now some very real tools of what I can replace that fear with. And as we've discussed some real practical tools, then we will open for questions as well. Be'ezras Hashem. Okay. Real tools to help ourselves in our minds once we realize that we have been taken over by the Yetzer Hara and he's created fear within us. How can we overcome that fear that sits within the imagination? How can we fight the Yetzer Hara within us? Rav Dessler says that we have to fight the Yetzer Hara with his tools. We have to use our imagination to fight the Yetzer Hara. David HaMelech in the Sefer Tehillim gives us tools. For he gives us images. He gives us all kinds of tools with which we can fill our minds. But again, it takes dripping it in, gradually bit by bit, until we have it ready so that if the fear jumps up and sticks into our mind, we have something to replace it with. David HaMelech said, Kagomol alei imoi, kagomol alei nafshi. As a baby in its mother's arms, so am I to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. David HaMelech, and Rashi says in a mind-blowing commentary, it blows my mind to think about it. He says, I am as a glob, without arms, without legs. I'm just a glob in your arms. That's how David HaMelech imagined himself. I'm powerless. I can do nothing. I am just a little glob in your arms, the Kadosh Baruch Hu, and you are protecting me and you're looking after me as a suckling, as a nursing baby. And of course, this story that I began the class with, this is so potent and so powerful. These babies were living off this feeling, kagomol alei imoi, as a nursing baby, even though they were sucking and getting nothing for 10 whole days. Yet, they felt the security of being with mommy. This is what David HaMelech aroused within himself, and he imagined himself. This is what he did within his mind. He's telling us, he's giving us the tools in our hands. Imagine yourself as a newborn baby. Imagine Hashem's arms around you. Imagine that he's holding you tight. Imagine that he's protecting you and carrying you through everything, that you're with him alone and he's watching you and guarding you. And the more that we feel this, the more we're going to have that response, the more that this emuna, the belief that we have, is going to be requited, the more that Hashem is going to respond to our emuna with all kinds of wonders and all kinds of nifloim. Another strong tool that we have is given to us in Chumash. HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself surrounded Klal Yisrael with the Anan HaKavod, with the clouds of glory. The clouds are a very potent symbol of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's protection. And we just sat within our sukkahs just a few short weeks ago, and the sukkah is a symbol for us to let us know that the sukkah wasn't only for those times, but that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's protection is available for every one of us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is surrounding us with his loving presence. And the more that we use our minds and our imagination to feel the cloud around me, and again, we can imagine it as a light surrounding me, a glow around me. I can imagine it in my mind as an actual cloud. Anybody who's ever seen a cloud, a sun shining through a cloud coming down, we can imagine this beam of light surrounding us of Hashem's protection. Again, we have to fight the Yetzer Hara with his tools. And he's giving us all kinds of really strong images that create a sense of fear within us. And fear is the very worst thing. We don't want to feel fear. We want to feel security and courage in the face of stress. We don't need to rid ourselves of stress in our lives because we want to reach out and connect to people in our lives. We want to reach out and connect to Kadosh Baruch Hu, but we don't want to feel the fear. We want to feel secure. We want to feel safe even with the situation around us. And so we want to feel this light surrounding me. And again, I'm not convincing myself of something that doesn't exist. I'm trying to convince myself of the existence of a Kadosh Baruch Hu's love and protection that actually exists, but that my Yetzer Hara doesn't allow me to see because of the physical existence that I live in, so I cannot see it, and I cannot actually envision the degree of a Kadosh Baruch Hu's protection that really surrounds one who believes. I cannot see it in this world, but it's real, and I have to use my imagination to fathom it in my mind. And again, I don't begin by believing it, but through believing it bit by bit, through talking about it, through practicing it, through allowing myself to think about it, gradually, like the water dropping in, it's going to have a powerful cumulative effect. It's going to enter into my heart. It's going to create that feeling of safety even in an unsafe world. It's going to help me to feel secure even if there is insecurity around me. And last, I want to share with you the words of Rav Chaim Volozhin in the Nefesh HaChaim. The He says, in truth, it is a great thing and a wondrous segula to remove and nullify all judgments and desires of others from ruling over him. And they will not have any effect on him. The judgments, any type of judgment that might exist over my head, I might deserve some kind of a punishment, and it's sitting over my head. And the desires of other people, some crazy lunatic woke up in the morning and decided he wanted to harm me. But this segula can remove and nullify all of those things, and they can have no effect on me whatsoever. If a person fixes in his heart and says, Hashem is the true God, there is no power besides him. Ein oid milvadoi. Not in this world or in any other. Everything is filled only with his simple unity, Baruch Hu. A person should nullify in his heart with a complete nullification all powers or desires of this world, meaning whatever anybody else would want to do to him, or any danger that exists, any power that could be dangerous, and pay no attention to them at all. But he should enslave and attach his pure thoughts only to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then Hashem will respond to this movement within us, to this movement to believe in Ein Od Milvadoi. Hashem will respond to this and will cause all the powers and desires in this world, the desires of other people who want to harm us, the din that might be, that we might even deserve something, but a Kodesh Baruch Hu will cause this to be null, and they will be unable to affect him in any way. This is the word of Rav Chaim Volozhin brought down in the Nefesh HaChaim, chapter 3, section 12. I discussed this with Avram Chaim Carmel. And he says, it's not that we have to get this perfectly and that we have to have a total and complete, my whole entire self proclaims Ein Od Milvadoi. I don't have to get it 100%. But Rav Avraham Chaim Carmel told me that it's the effort and the effort that we put in to try and fill my mind with this Ein Od Milvadoi. And the exertion that I put in to try, this is what brings about the response from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The effort that I put in to try and think emunah, to try and think belief in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's love for me, to try and think Ein Od Milvadoi, there is nothing apart from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He is behind everything. He is protecting me and he is the one who is in charge. There is no other force in nature, in the world, only HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The effort and the desire that I have to try and believe this, that is what brings about the Yeshua. Saying Ein Od Milvadoi, imagining myself in a Kodesh Baruch Hu's arms as a newborn baby, imagining myself surrounded by Hashem's cloud of protection around me. The effort that I put in to try and believe that Hashem is protecting me, the effort that I put in to try and believe that there is no power other than a Kodesh Baruch Hu, Hashem responds to the effort that we put in. And this will have a result. It will have an immediate result in helping us to feel more calm and secure. A newborn baby in his mother's arms feels a security, as these newborn babies, even though they were getting nothing from their mothers other than the presence of the mother, so they survived, so we will survive. We will endure. We will gain resilience through allowing ourselves to feel in the Kodesh Baruch Hu's arms. And in addition, Hashem will respond to all of our efforts with a greater amount of Ashkacha Pratis, a greater amount of protection. Hashem will nullify automatically all of the powers and desires of anybody in the world, and they will be unable to affect us in any way when we go through life with this. Now, I'm going to open for questions, but first of all, I'm going to ask one question. I'm going to answer the same question, because I know you're going to ask this question, okay? And it needs to be answered, and that question is, but what about all the people that trusted and hoped and believed and they still lost their lives? And the answer is that there are those people that lose their lives unnecessarily through not trusting and not believing. There are those people who, chas v'shalom, die before their time through stress and worry and fear. Okay? But in order to live our full allotment of time, in order to actually enjoy the fullness of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to bestow upon us, we need to live with emunah, we need to live with Ein Od Milvadoi, we need to live with an absence of fear. But we could, chas v'shalom, draw upon ourselves an early, early demise. And there's another set of people, tzaddikim, who are prepared to be the korban tzibor. They are prepared to accept upon themselves any kind of trouble in order to spare Klal Yisrael from having any other kind of trouble. And so we can't ask, but surely the tzaddikim could have had emunah and saved themselves. Yes, they could have had. But many, many of our greatest tzaddikim decided to accept upon themselves suffering on our behalf and accepted upon themselves even death and death at the hands of a reilim, chas v'shalom, in order to be a kapara for us. So they could certainly have saved themselves with emunah, but they decided to bring a greater Yeshua to Klal Yisrael through accepting upon themselves on our behalf. And so they chose not to use emunah to save themselves, but to become a kapara for the Klal. So, but for the general population of us that don't actually desire to be the Korban Klal and that we want to live our full life, for us, living with emunah is going to allow ourselves to live the full allotment of life that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given to us, and it's going to allow ourselves to really to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to connect to Klal Yisrael in a way that we couldn't before. And I want to leave you with one image before we open up for questions, and that is David HaMelech, and this is one of the strongest images in my mind of David HaMelech. David HaMelech, at one point, when he was king, they were being attacked by a nation, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him that he's going to fight with him. He said, but you have to follow my rule. You mustn't go out to fight until I give you the sign. David HaMelech went out with all of his people and with his entire army. And Hashem showed him a sign. When you hear a rustling in the trees next to you, this will be a sign that all the heavenly hosts and the malachim have come down to fight against the enemy. This will be a sign that you can begin the attack. So, this is what David HaMelech did. David HaMelech waited, and he waited, and he waited. And the enemy came. The enemy came towards him. And the enemy wanted to fight. And the enemy was approaching with a massive amount of armies. The amount of stress that David HaMelech must have found himself in at that point was an unbelievable amount of stress. And yet, David HaMelech responded to this stress with tremendous connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and restraint. And emunah, that the moment with that Hashem sends me that sign, he's going to fight for me. And the adrenaline that must have been coursing through his veins and the amount of stress hormone that must have been within him was a huge amount. The enemy was almost there, and he had this massive army that he was responsible for. And yet Hashem told him, don't move until I tell you. At the moment that Hashem told him, he heard that rustling in the trees. He gave the sign to his army to mobilize. And they went forward, and they totally decimated and routed the enemy. But David HaMelech took that moment. He connected himself completely to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He followed HaKadosh Baruch Hu's guidance, and he was successful. This is the model for us through any kind of stressful situation. And there is no Jewish life without stress. Baruch Hashem. Hashem wants us to live full lives with families. And why is it that Purim is dafka a month before Pesach? And why is it that we have to make a wedding and Sheva Brachas? And there's so many different things that we have to do with large families. And one's going to have this learning problem, and one's going to go off the derech, and all these different kinds of stories. Why does Hashem give us a stressful existence? He gives us stress to turn us to Him, to turn us to connect to the community, and to turn to Him, to live courageous lives, to feel secure even with the insecurity around, and to feel safe even in unsafe times. Okay. I hope that I've given you some tools. I'm opening now for questions. In order to ask your question, please push *6. And we'll take them one at a time.
Hi, Hinda.
Yes, go ahead.
Hi, this is Satya in New Jersey. So nice to hear you. I hear what you're saying about the individual feeling secure, but when something is happening to Klal Yisrael, is there a way that everybody can just think their way out of it, or is Hashem trying to get us to wake up? And if so, what is he asking of us? I mean, the traditional answer is it's Ahavat Chinam, because the korban was because of Sinat Chinam. But I'm just wondering, you know, what we can do on a Klal level, not just individual.
It's a double answer, and that one of the answers is we, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, created us wired with the right response. Our physical systems need to reach out and connect, and this is what Hashem wants from us. He wants us to connect to each other with unity. He wants us to reach across the boundaries and connect and hold hands tightly with each other, and so yes, overcome any kind of divisiveness and give and do chesed down here to bring down HaKadosh Baruch Hu's chesed. And he wants us to call out to him with emuna and with tefillah. Emuna and tefillah go together. Emuna, belief, impacts upon our tefillah. And our tefillah, our prayer, impacts upon our emuna. And through calling out to him with unity down here and calling to him together, this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants of all of us together. That's the response that he wants from us. And thank you, Batch, for speaking up. Yes. Next question, please. Push star 6.
Hi, Chai Hananda. It's Rebecca. How are you?
Hi, Rebecca. This is so nice to hear my friends online. Yes, Rebecca.
I have two questions, actually. The first is, how do we, obviously, we've taken the class and we have the tools to overcome, you know, our own thoughts, but how do we really make our kids feel secure? That's my first one. Another thing is like, David had a sign from Hashem. He had a conversation with Hashem. Like, I certainly don't have conversations like with Hashem where he's giving me a definite sign. Wait till this. It's much easier to have emuna when you have a specific time frame that you're waiting for something to happen. So what can we do to sort of understand, like, how to listen to Hashem better?
Beautiful questions. I like your questions. Okay, so we're going to answer question one first and then question two. So question number one, how can we help our children? First of all, whatever the mother feels deeply, she is going to be transmitting to her children. This is very, very clear in everything that we do. The Aruch Hayim says, that as water reflects a face to a face, so is one person's heart reflected in another's. The way that we feel about another is transmitted to them. If my feeling about my children is panic and fear for their survival, that's what they're going to feel. But if my feeling is HaKadosh Baruch Hu is watching us all, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is protecting us all, HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves us, we are Hashem's children and He loves and protects us wherever we are, our children are going to get that very, very strongly. In addition, we have a tradition that every midah, every trait that a mother is wished for, that a mother works hard on to acquire for herself, becomes second nature for her children. Our children naturally will get from us that which we worked hard to acquire. And so when we work hard to acquire emuna, our children are going to receive it with our milk. That's what they're going to get from their parents. They're going to say, Mommy said, but Mommy says like this. This is what Mommy always said. And they're going to live and breathe the kind of emuna that we really feel. But again, they don't get it from our lip service. They get it from it being real with us. And so wherever we are, we have to keep ourselves moving along that continuum. It has to begin with our lips, but then it has to get into our thinking. And from our thinking, it has to get into our hearts. And as long as we keep moving, our children are going to move along with us. And I've had so many testimonials from so many women who tell me how their children are telling them. A beautiful little story of a five-year-old who was having nightmares, and her mother taught her how to make positive statements to herself. And she started to say, I'm not scared, Hashem is protecting me. And that's what she began to say to herself, and she was able to save herself from fear of nightmares through communicating to herself out loud her emuna in Hashem's protection, and she prevented herself from my fears. She said the mother said she used to have to sit with this daughter every night. Bedtime was hours, and now it's not anymore because the daughter herself has taught herself now how to overcome fear. So the answer is, the more that we acquire real emunah, and we try and we put effort in, the more it's going to be deeply entrenched in our children, and they're going to feel it. And in fact, another beautiful anecdote that I have to tell you is, a woman told me she had a son who was troubled. He was, and he was slightly off the derech, and she said that she would listen to my classes, and she would have me on speakerphone during the sessions, and her son's bedroom was next to the room where she was listening to the classes. Okay, he obviously didn't want to hear the classes. He was not interested in hearing Chaya Hinder going on and on about emunah b'tochen and positive thinking, but the mother would, you know, she would continually say thanks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and she would sing Mizmor LaToda, thank you Hashem for all of the Yeshuas, and she would, you know, all of this would be something that would was gradually coming more and more into the daily life of this family. Over the course of the year, nothing much changed with the son, but then the son said he was going to fly overseas for a visit. I think he was coming to Eretz Yisrael, and he started to say when he was booking his ticket, Be'ezrat Hashem, I'm going to get a good ticket. Okay? He started to say, Be'ezrat Hashem, I'm going to get a good ticket. And he got a great ticket. He got a really good deal. He got a great price. He got a great price, and he flew, and it went well. And as soon as he arrived, he found a great place to stay. And he said, wow, I had such, he told his mother, I had such hashgacha pratit, he said, that I found such a great place, and I even found a job. My friends were saying to me, how come you got such a great job? And I said to them, well, it was all hashgacha pratit, Hashem gave me this job. And the mother didn't believe what she was hearing. And he said, I got such a great job, it was all hashgacha pratit. He said, I even said, Mizmor LaToda, mommy. And he said, Mizmor LaToda. Okay, a few weeks went by, and the first job didn't work out so great, but then he got another even better job, and things just kept going from great to even better. And after a few months, he called his mother, they were talking on the phone one day, and he said to her, mommy, he said, I think I'm going to buy a Mizmor LaToda for my car. I have to say it so often because so many things are going great. I guess sitting next to your room where you were listening to your classes, I guess it rubbed off, he said. I guess it had an effect. Whatever we're working on, it's going to have an effect on our children. Okay, second question. How to feel Hashem's guidance? Because David HaMelech obviously is way beyond us. And, you know, like dreaming to get stuff. I mean, how could we're ants. We're not even ants compared to David HaMelech. Okay, but it's a process. And what David HaMelech says in Tehillim is open for all of us. You are holding my hand. The feeling of walking with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is definitely something that we can experience throughout our lives. And if we have situations where we need HaKadosh Baruch Hu's guidance, He is going to show it to us. And He is going to help us. And the more, again, Shem Tzilcha, the more that we turn to Him for guidance, the more we're going to receive it. One lady just this week, she shared with me a gorgeous story that She was looking into becoming a real estate agent. She really liked real estate, and she kind of had a dream to be a real estate agent. And she didn't know, should she become a real estate agent or shouldn't she? And she's already in her late 50s, and, you know, a change of a profession. She needed a change of profession, but she just didn't know what to go into. And so she was taking my program, and she decided she's going to reach out to Hashem for guidance about what I should do. And so she said, Hashem, please send me a sign. I don't know what to do. I don't know whether I should go into this or not. You save me. Tell me what I should do. Okay? She left it at that. But she was telling herself, Hashem guides me. Hashem sends me guidance. The world is not Hefka. Hashem loves me. Hashem cares about me. He's going to give me guidance. Okay? The next day, she was talking to a friend, and she mentioned something about real estate. And she said, this friend said to her, oh, no, don't come into real estate. It's a dog-eat-dog business, and it's a real backbiting business. And at your age, you want to go into a kind of a job where you feel one with people and you can give to people. This is a really highly competitive business. It's not something you want to go into. She got off the phone, and she said, well, that was really fast, Hashem. Thank you very much, but I got what I needed. And it might sound unreal, but the truth is, when we have emunah, and when we live with emunah in Hashem's guidance, we will receive Hashem's guidance. And again, we're not going to be responsible for the entire nation like David HaMelech was. And And but it doesn't mean that we're not his beloved child. I have to believe as a Yid that the entire world was created for me. The entire world. In which case, HaKadosh Baruch Hu certainly is going to guide me in where I'm supposed to be going in life and what I'm supposed to be doing. And I can trust that he's going to guide me. And I need to sometimes wait for his guidance. And if I didn't get the message, I can say, okay, Hashem, I need some more information. I need some more help. Please guide me more. And the more I ask for it, the more Be'ezus Hashem I'm going to receive it. Did that answer the question, Rebecca? Okay, next question.
I muted myself. Yeah, sorry. It does. Thank you.
Yes. Okay. Thank you. Anybody else with a question? Please put star 6.
Hello?
Yes, go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to say something very interesting. You know, last week when we were hearing all these things happening at Israel, I was like feeling like, what does Hashem really want from us? And I actually davened that day. Hashem, please help me understand, what do you want from us? And as I was, I don't know what it was, I think it was that evening or the next day, I was saying Shema, and when I was saying V'hoya, V'imshamaitis me, Amitzvahis, V'hashem, like all that, I was like, I don't know, suddenly it came to me like as if an answer, like Hashem is telling us that when you're going to love me, I'm going to protect you. And it was like, I don't know what it was like a strong feeling, like Hashem is telling me, Hashem, he wants us to love him. Like, that was like a message for me. It was something very, very interesting that I had.
That is so gewaldic and powerful that you wanted to know. You sincerely asked, and you had a munna in a Kodesh Baruch Hu that he's going to, that he is caring about you to answer you. And then Hashem was mashpira. Hashem gave you an answer within your mind that he opened our eyes. Even the thoughts that we have are by Hashgacha Prophet. We have to believe that.
Yeah, it was very
that.
Interesting. So I really felt it was like from Hashem, like something, like an answer came to me. Like it was very inspiring.
So beautiful. Thank you so much for sharing that. Thank you so much.
Hi, Hinda.
Yes.
Hi, it's Jolie. I just wanted to make sure that everyone knows about your amazing teleconference and live classes that you give. Do you mind if I just
give a few
words now? Okay. I'm the one who sends out all the emails to anyone who's been receiving them. So first of all, I want to apologize if I sent out too many. I'm getting the list organized now, so in the future that will be more streamlined. And I really just, again, it's amazing how inspired I am, Chaya Henda, every time I hear you. And we really have an opportunity. You have been blessed with a gift, and it's really incredible that you share that gift with people, and you have been blessed with the ability to share it in such a beautiful way. You, as Rachel Ruchel Berg says, your lovely English accent and your sense of humor and your clarity, it's just such a breath of fresh air. And I really want to invite everybody who's on the line now to seize the opportunity, to really seize the opportunity. We're in crazy times and amazing times, and this might be a little over the top, but I sort of feel that, Chaya Henda, you're the refuah, one of the refuahs that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has sent us, because what we all need is exactly what you've been teaching for the last, I don't know, 8 years. I have no idea how many years you've been teaching this. But you have a gift, and I really encourage everybody on the line to seize the opportunity and tune in every week with you. It's 20 sessions and guided imageries, and it's life-changing. It's truly life-changing. I have women. I have women come up to me and hug me in the street that I don't even know to thank me that I send them these links and these things because it's changed their lives. So I'm offering that opportunity and reminding everyone to seize it, because we don't know how long we have to be able to really use these tools right now. We want to use them. I don't mean to say we don't know how long, but we don't want to waste time. We don't want to waste time right now. This is not the year to waste time. And in conclusion, I think that if I remember correctly, that anyone who signs up now is also, just because you have such a heart of gold,
You're giving out some free dream books and things like that. So anyone who is on the line now, you get a special deal with that. So you can take it back over to all of the Amuna and blessings that you have been giving us. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, I see two more ladies. Thank you so much, Jolie. Thank you for all of the help and support that you give me constantly. And Jolie's making a bar mitzvah next week, and she's still busy on the line with me. So thank you so much for taking time out of your schedule to come and give me backup. Thank you, Jolie. And yes,
pleasure.
Anybody who signs up within the next day or two, we're going to be sending a free dream book, which is a personalized goal work-through book. 130 pages of questions and guided dreaming, basically, how to optimize our dreams and goals. And that's going to be sent to everybody who signs up now. And in addition, a free class entitled Come Welcome to Shabbos with all kinds of positive ideas of how Shabbos actually is the source of positive thinking. And every 7 days, every week, we can regenerate ourselves with the power that Shabbos itself holds, which we'll also give out for free to anybody that joins, which is an additional class that is not a part of the series, but we're going to give that to anybody who signs up right now. And I see that there are still a couple of people who want to ask questions, so we'll take these last two questioners before we finish for tonight. Yes, please, whoever's on the line and wants to ask a question, go ahead and you can push *6 and ask your question.
I had a question just about the class. When will it be taking place, and when does it start?
Okay, thank you for asking that very practical question. There are three new series beginning. There's a teleconference, which is the one that's available to worldwide, Australia, South Africa, wherever you live, Canada, America, and that is beginning, Be'ezus Hashem, November 4th. It's a Wednesday. The classes will be taking place 9:30 my time, which is a half an hour later than this class began, so wherever you are in your time zone, the class will be from a half an hour after the class began today for an hour and a half. And then, again, we will meet again on Thursday for a half hour, just to give people in a different time zone the chance to come on live. That's why I do it like that. I split it up so the people in a different kind of time zone can also get a chance to be on live. Every class is recorded. Sorry, say again?
Thursday is the same time?
No. Thursday is much earlier in the morning.
Oh, okay.
For people in more like in the English time zone, meaning so that they can then hear it. Every class is recorded, and a link is sent to every participant to their email address. The classes are also put on a phone line, so you can access all of the classes only by phone. No one needs to have any computer in order to hear the class recording. In addition, there are 20 different guided imagery tracks, which we use for enlightenment, for relaxation, for inspiration, and we use them to gain control of our imagination, to take it back from the. I'm just going to mute everybody who's on the line right now, because there was just that background noise preventing me from being able to speak, and I will unmute you again when I finish. Where was I? Everything is recorded. Everything is accessible from iPhones, from iPads. You can access all of the classes, and all of the class recordings are available. This is actually a unique to our series. There are many other maybe similar classes, but they don't allow you to record classes. But I do freely give out to all participants all of the recordings, because I want you to be able to review them, and I want you to have them, and I want you to also be in touch with me. And I give personal time to everybody that calls. I'm available every weekday, and I give unlimited phone support to ladies within the program who want to speak with me personally about whatever your personal challenges are, because I know that not everybody wants to speak up in class. Not everybody can listen to class live. In fact, I would say probably 80% of my participants are listening via recordings. So, and then that's just perfect. And I want to be in touch with everybody. And I just want to say that there is a live class beginning in Yerushalayim, meaning a live physical class taking place in a home in Yerushalayim. Also on Wednesday, November 4th, Be'ezus Hashem. And there will be also a series starting in Beitar for anybody who is local in Eretz Yisrael. So just Okay, that's the practical details. And you, there are local representatives. In America, you can speak to Alyssa. In England, you can speak to Javi Tambor. In Eretz Yisrael, you can speak to Jolie Brody. And if you're still stuck, even though you won't because they're a wonderful support team, you can email me. So there's always people to speak to, Be'ezat Hashem. Any technical questions will be addressed. And anybody with any other questions, please unmute yourself for Celtic Center. Yeah, go ahead.
Hello?
Please. Yes, yes, go ahead.
Hi.
Hello.
Okay, I'm calling from New York. Okay, we're supposed to go to Israel for my son's bar mitzvah. I'm kind of nervous, you know, if I'm doing the right thing, you know, because of the situation. I don't know what to do. I'm all confused.
Okay, so I would say have emunah that Hashem is going to guide you about what you should do. Beg Hashem, say some Tehillim and say, Hashem, I want to go, but I do have that fear. I want you to guide me, show me what I should do. And then you can trust him that he's going to guide you. I heard this from Rebbetzin Foyer, the daughter of Rav Gifted itself, the Tells Rosh Yeshiva. She said they had a tradition in their home that if anybody had a question what they should do, they would say, Hashem is going to guide us. And in the next conversation within the next soon time, we're going to get guidance from Hashem. And she brought me an example that at one point her two sons didn't know whether they should come home for Yom Tov or whether they should stay in Yeshiva with their gifted, with their grandfather, the Rosh Yeshiva. And so they said, okay, we don't know what we should do. The next conversation that we have, we'll see what we should do. They went and sat down in the Beis Medrash, and in front of them there were two Bachrim talking, and they were having a discussion about whether they should stay in the yeshiva for Yom Tov or whether they should go home. And they said, what should we do? What should we do? Ah, we'll go. We'll stay in yeshiva for Yom Tov. We'll stay with the Rosh Yeshiva for Yom Tov. And they understood, okay, Hashem is guiding us. This is Hashem talking to us. We'll stay in the yeshiva for Yom Tov. With emunah, we can do this, and Hashem will guide us. And then once we embark on that plan of action where we feel that we received Hashem's guidance, we can go with confidence that Hashem is guiding me, and Hashem guiding me to do this. So that's what I would advise you to do. Trust Hashem to guide you.
Okay, thank you so much.
And Mazel Tov, wherever you are.
Thank you.
You have a lot of nachas from your son.
Amen, thank you so much.
Yes, last question.
Hi, can I ask you quickly?
Yes, please.
Yeah. So my question is, I have asked Hashem for advice, a certain difficulty that I'm a decision I have to make, and when I think about and imagine the situation, I feel stress. And when I think that it's whether I take on a child to stay by me from Sunday till Friday, and it's going to be 4 weeks before my son's bar mitzvah, it's Hashem. So the mother sort of, I just don't know if it's the right thing to do, but when I imagine having the child, I do feel stressed, and I've sort of almost committed myself to doing it. I don't want to let her down, so it could be that it is the right thing for me, but when I ask Hashem for help, I feel like if I say no, then maybe it is the right thing, because then my stress releases itself, but then I don't know, to ask Hashem for help, I feel like, does that make sense? Or
yeah, it makes sense. But again, so what I would like to reply is that stress is not bad for us. Stress forces us to turn to the people in our lives, to connect with them. It forces us to turn to Kodesh Baruch Hu. The fact that we feel stressed by certain circumstances doesn't mean that it's bad. In fact, it's good for us. It means that we're doing things that are meaningful. A person who never feels any stress in their life is probably the only kind of person who doesn't do anything at all and has no responsibility for anybody else and doesn't care about other people. But stress means that we're involved with people, and it means that we have responsibilities. So stress isn't bad. And feeling stress isn't bad or dangerous. So feeling stress is a prompt to turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And if you, I would say, ask a good friend, ask your husband, if he thinks that it's too much for you. But if you basically get the go-ahead from your husband or your friends, think that you basically can do it, and you have the desire to do it, if you want to do it, then a Kodesh Baruch will certainly give you the help to do it, if you do want to. But again, you need to, just one second, you need to trust a Kodesh Baruch Hu that he is going to guide you, that feeling stress is not bad, and that stress is just, I'm just going to mute you while I talk so that we don't have the background noise, sorry, excuse me. Okay, stress is not a reason to avoid taking on a kind of responsibility. Stress is good for us. Stress activates us. Stress keeps us mobilized. Stress forces us to join arms with other people and get involved and reach out to Kodesh Baruch Hu. So we don't have to avoid any stressful situations, right? We don't have to avoid simchas. Every simcha comes with a certain amount of stress. And it doesn't mean that we need to avoid it, but we do need to have emunah that a Kodesh Baruch Hu is going to be with us and a Kodesh Baruch Hu is going to help us. And if we, again, we don't need to make trouble for ourselves. And so it's wise to ask somebody who knows you well, if I suggested your husband or a good friend or maybe your mother, to, if they think that you are up to taking on this additional burden, and if you don't have anybody that you can ask, then you can ask Kodesh Baruch Hu to guide you. Say some Kapitach Tehillim, ask him, please guide me, let me know if it's the right thing for me to do to take the child or not, and Hashem will certainly help you to get the answer that you need. I thank everybody for joining me on the line, and my sincere hope is that you have found in something that I've said, something that you can use right away in the situations that each of us is dealing with, everybody with their own bag, with their own peckle, and that many of you will make the choice to jump in and join me on November the 4th, Be'ezras Hashem, and to be in touch with me personally, whether through phone, through email, and to share with me the wonderful, fantastic journey towards feeling a Kodesh Baruch Hu's love, towards emunah, towards belief, towards trust, towards menuchas nefesh, serenity of mind, even in times of stress and challenge, and to connect with me, because more than anything else, my hormone, my stress hormone, wants me to connect to you across the board and across Klal Yisrael. And nothing makes me happier than connecting with women around the world, because my experience has been that the women who reach out and want to connect and want to work on themselves and want to fill themselves with the moon B'tachan are the most incredible, special, worth-knowing women in the world. So each one of you, I look forward to getting to know you, and thank you so much for joining me. May we taka be zeicha to see the Geula Shleima in Yerushalayim very, very soon, all together. Kol tov, thank you.